morning's reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Now, our series on a Sunday morning is a series on church life. And right at the start of this series, I said, if anybody has any aspects of church life which you would like to mention so that we can include it in our series, then please do. And one of the things that were mentioned was somebody said, what about our relations with other churches? Where does Whole Green stand with our relationship with different types of churches and other churches? Now, I thought that's worth looking at. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at our relationships and what the scriptures teach about a church's relationships with other churches. And it's quite providential. It's a good time of the year to think about this, actually, because I didn't plan this, but it's just, it's in God's providence that at this time of year, the Worth Valley Churches Together Christmas leaflet comes out. And the reason I mention this is because local churches advertise their Christmas meetings in this little leaflet. And so there's seven churches on here: Lees Methodist, St. Michael's, the Parish Church, and Our Lady of Lourdes Roman Catholic Church, and so on, and a number of other local churches. And so they advertise their local Christmas meetings. Now, of course, we're not on that. And so various comments have been made to me over the years. Some of our folk have said, they've missed us out. We should have been on there, they've missed us out. Now, that wasn't really an accurate thing, because we're not actually officially part of the churches together, you see. And so it wasn't a case of them missing us out. It's because we're not actually a part of that organisation. So we can't blame them for that. But understandably, very understandably, people see that, and it's mainly been older people, I have to say, in Haworth, who seem to have, they understand that Whole Green hasn't been part of Churches Together. And what they then do is they sort of think, I wonder why, and then they'll come up with their own reasons. Now, that's understandable. And as I say, it is mainly older people who think like that. I haven't seen any issues at all amongst young people, but older people sometimes think like that. So I thought this would be a really good opportunity to actually explain, because you can understand, if we're not part of Churches Together, people would say, well, I wonder why that is. And it's also understandable that people can come up with wrong reasons. And so sometimes I've heard people say, well, they're a sort of holy huddle, they think they're better than everybody else. Well, that is just not the case. We are very conscious of our weaknesses at Whole Green, and we're very conscious that we're constantly asking God for forgiveness and in our discipleship wanting to please him more. So we are learning. We're in a learning process. And so that's absolutely not the reason at all. And then sometimes people wonder, really, if we've fallen out with people. You know, is that the problem? Did they have a bit of a fallout years ago and they've never got back to it? Now, that's not the reason either. I can thank God. I've been here 16 years now, and I've had a lovely relationship with all sorts of past ministers, people from other churches, and the present ministers as well, and so on. I value their friendship enormously. I was up at the parish church last Monday, were to hear the bishop, the Anglican Bishop of Bradford, Toby, give a very spiritually helpful address. And that was, of course, in the renovation. They finally got the roof on, and they've got a new door at the parish church, and a lot of money's been raised to save that building, and we're very, very grateful for that. And I was able to thank Peter, the rector, who's leaving shortly, personally, that he was the man at the right time to be able to raise that money, so that none of us would like to see the disappearance of the parish church, would we? And we're glad that that's been rescued, and we pray for them that somebody might come and preach the gospel at that church in years to come. And so the reason, when people say, have you fallen out? No, that's absolutely not the reason. Valued friendship with people over the years, and trust and hope that continue to do so. So a few other people might say, well, okay, if you haven't fallen out, if you're not a holy huddle, is it just that you're inward looking, really? You can't be bothered with anybody else. Do you just want to just, come on, God, let's get on with what we're doing. Don't let's worry about anybody else. Now, the thing about that attitude is, no, we're not like that. We can't be like that because of the teaching of the New Testament. We are Bible-believing Christians. And so what Lynn read for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is just an example. If I could just say at this point, by the way, that for a future series, I'm working on Romans. I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm at my happiest when I've got a passage of Scripture and when we're expounding what's there and just feeding on understanding what that Scripture says. Now, I'm looking forward to that, and that's really the main part of the ministry here at Hall Green. But occasionally, we have an overall view, and we deal with subjects like this morning. So I'm not actually going through this chapter, the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I'm just using it as an example, because here we have an example where it's very clear, and there's loads of examples like this, that the churches in the New Testament were really close. They were interrelated. They got on with each other. They used to swap leaders, and leaders would visit. If a church was in trouble, like the church at Jerusalem, they'd get a whole load of money and a whole load of goods and send it over and help each other out. There was a connection between the churches. And you can see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. They were learning from each other. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Now, I just want to make two simple points from that. And that was that everybody knew about the church at Thessalonica. And their example was known by everybody. And we have this interconnection between the churches. And so what I'm going to do briefly this morning is I'm going to have a look at the fellowship that we do have. Now, this is mainly informational, so that all of us know. So that if you meet people, and so that for your own knowledge as well, if people say, well, who do Hall Green have fellowship with? We know where we are, and we know what our situation is. It's thought through and prayed through. It's not just something we've fallen into. And then this evening, God willing, we'll look at the history of our position, because it's very important to know where you've come from and the history of the gospel in our nation. And we'll look at where we've come from, where we are, and the future, and where we're going to go. And that's very important, because the future of the gospel is absolutely intrinsically bound up in the health of the church. So we're concerned about the health of the churches and what's the best way forward. So it's a double thing this morning. I hope you make it this evening as well, because the two go together. So I've only got 2 points this morning. The first is, what identifies the New Testament church, such as Thessalonica, and also ourselves, and then specifically our fellowship with other churches. And so the thing that I want to begin with is this. We are here at a gathering of Hall Green. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're very, very welcome, because we invite people to come in and find out about the Lord Jesus. But you are very welcome to what? Well, you are very welcome to a group of people who we've seen in our subject on church life. We are a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're family, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we are united with our passion for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his gospel. We believe in the Holy Scripture. And so you're welcome to a congregation of the Lord's people. And we have this in common, that from all types of different backgrounds, our backgrounds are irrelevant in that sense, from all different backgrounds, we have experienced the working of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And when God, in all his power, and we've seen something of his terrific power at Mount Sinai with the children this morning, when God, with his power, begins to work in a person, then the Holy Spirit convicts that person of sin. Sin in the light of God's righteousness. So sin in regard to looking upwards to God's perfection, not looking horizontally to other people's perfection. So we're not comparing ourselves with each other. We're looking at the Almighty God, and he's pure and perfect and totally, totally righteous. We look at him and we say, I'm not like that. My thoughts, the words that I say, the stuff that I do, the things that I don't do, I'm absolutely conscious of my imperfections and all the rest of it. And it's the Holy Spirit at work convicting us of our sin in the light of God's righteousness and in the light of a judgment to come, because it's appointed for each person to live their life, and after their life comes judgment, and we have to meet God on judgment. Now, that is what we believe. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches. And then, through this working of the Holy Spirit in our heart, when we become uncomfortable, this is the backcloth from which we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see there this amazing gift of God to say, you cannot in any way live a good enough life which will be acceptable for me, but this man can, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see his uniqueness. We see that he is uniquely God, yet fully human. And we see that he has been appointed by God to actually die as a substitute, substituting for us. We should be on the cross. We should be dying for our sin. We should be being punished for our sin. The Lord Jesus steps into our place and is made sin and takes the wrath and the anger of God, because that is a part of God's character, which is so often ignored nowadays. But that's the reality, that God is absolutely implacably opposed to sin. And so in his justice, it has to be punished. He punishes his son instead of us. And then this gospel message, gospel means good news, this message of good news is then proclaimed to everybody. For anyone, anyone at all, whatever background, whatever creed, wherever you've come from in the world, for anybody at all, listen to this message. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that he is the only begotten Son of God, and you believe that he died for sin on that cross and then rose victoriously from the grave and overcame death, you trust in him, you confess him as your Lord, so now you are looking to him and recognizing that you listen to his voice and you take note of what he says, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, and you believe that in your heart, you will be saved. That's the message. Glorious. Absolutely glorious. So, I just mentioned that because that's what we are. We are a gospel church. We believe the good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the gospel. We believe that Christ is unique and the only way of salvation, that no other way there is that anybody can be saved except through the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe Jesus clearly stood on the scriptures. And so we, because he is our Lord, we believe the scriptures because Jesus did as well. And we believe in his resurrection, his coming again, and we believe in the reality of heaven and hell because that is what he taught and because he is our Lord. Now, we are therefore a gospel church. And we stand with Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So, what I'm saying is that we as a church are a confessional church. There is a message. We believe that the power of God in our generation, as in all generations, is manifest through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are a gospel church. We are thankful to people who have gone before us, and they have summarized what the Bible says about the gospel, and they've summarized what the scriptures teach. And so we as a church hold to the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. If you want to read it, we can give you one there. You can go with an Evangelical Times and a Confession of Faith if you want. More recently, the 1966 Baptist Affirmation of Faith. A summary is held there. And so we stand on this message. See, the gospel is a message. And the power of God is manifest in that message. Now, that's where we stand. Now, if you understand that, everything else falls into place about relationship with other churches. Because the second and final point is that our fellowship with other churches is gospel-based. Now, a few facts for you, which I hope will be useful. We are what is commonly known as a Grace Baptist Church. Now, what is meant by that is that there's a collection. At the last count on their website, there are about 560 Grace Baptist Churches throughout the UK. There are some abroad as well. And these churches, we have in common this Confession of Faith, the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. We believe that that is an accurate summary of what the Bible teaches. So there is this union, this fellowship. Now, that's not to say we don't have a pope, we don't have an archbishop, we don't have a head person who we're answerable to. We're all independent churches. But we're churches that seek to help each other in fellowship. And so, for instance, if we want to send somebody to a different part of the world to preach the gospel, one individual church might not be able to afford that. So all the churches get together and say, let's all help together. That's called Grace Baptist Mission. We've got Nathan Javid working in Bradford. We've got Nicola Aitkins working at the moment in the north of England and so on, who are part of that fellowship. And so there are different ways of showing that fellowship between these 560 UK churches and a few abroad. There's the Grace Baptist Trust. We're going to get the front of the building pointed because other churches, they're not just a mysterious organisation with a pot of money. These are churches. These are people who are worshipping God this morning in different parts of the country. And we contribute, we always contribute, to the Grace Baptist Trust so that they can help other people in giving out funds where available. So what I'm talking about is a real fellowship of churches who confess the same faith, the same gospel, working together. We're not isolated. But then we get more local, and we're part of the Yorkshire Gospel Partnership. Because somebody might say, right, I get it. So you all believe the same things, these 500 churches and so. Well, yeah, we're very similar in the things that we believe, certainly. But in our local fellowship, the Yorkshire Gospel Partnership has different types of people. We're not denominational in our thinking, okay? We're gospel in our thinking. We fellowship with gospel churches. So we look round about us for gospel churches. And the Yorkshire Gospel Partnership is a fellowship of Anglican churches. So, for instance, there's a big church down in Sheffield, Christ Church in Sheffield. There's a big church over at Hull. We're in fellowship with Anglican churches, and we're in fellowship with Congregational churches. We're in fellowship with Presbyterian churches who don't believe in baptism like we do. And we're in fellowship with totally independent churches, and we're in fellowship with churches from different backgrounds, and what unites us all together is gospel. We're a gospel church. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. There is one way of salvation, Christ alone. Repent of sin, believe the gospel, you'll be saved. Who's preaching the message? Where is the message? Let's get together because we're a confessional church. We have a message which is the most important message that there is in this world. Without this message, there'll be people, or everybody, is heading for hell, because Christ specifically said hell is a reality. And so how can we avoid that? Here's the gospel message. If you believe in me, you shall have everlasting life. You won't perish. And so we have the reality of a message which manifests the power of God. Absolutely vital. It's our passion. Christ and his gospel. Let's join together. And with this message, bring it to the world. That's what unites us. It's the gospel message. We must have preached repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look around us. We're not looking for people of the same denomination. We're not looking for people who believe exactly the same things. We're looking for people who believe the Bible and will proclaim repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we share fellowship with these people. And this actually brings us into contact with people from all over the world. And so sometimes people think, "All green, you're a bit isolated, aren't you? You know, you don't have fellowship with other churches, do you?" Yeah, we really do. We really do. Because within this pulpit, well, the pulpit's there, like, but here, we've had speakers in recent years. We've had two bishops in recent years, haven't we? Speaking at All Green. We've had the Bishop of Gojira, Pakistan. He's a Bible lad. And we've also had another South African bishop, Frank Retief, who's an Anglican bishop in South Africa, preaching here. We're not bothered about denominations, okay? We want the gospel proclaimed. And so we're not little narrow, okay? We've had a Presbyterian speaking here. Joel Beakey came over from the States and spoke here. A few summers there. And absolutely, these are wonderful men. Wonderful men. So thrilled at their fellowship. And so the point I'm making is we're not narrow denominational. And so I can absolutely understand if somebody sort of picks up the churches together and think, "Oh, they don't want anything to do with anybody, do they?" Hang on, whoa, we need to explain this. We really, really do. We have fellowship now with churches throughout Europe, through the Grace Baptist Mission and other means. You very kindly as a church let me go out to India to preach and Pakistan to preach in recent years. What do you think we do? Land in Pakistan and say, "Oh, I wonder where to go. Are there any Christians around here?" We know people there. We're in fellowship with people. They pray for us. We pray for them. It's part of our prayer life. So we're in fellowship with people in Africa and in the Americas and over in Asia. And we thank God for that fellowship because we're passionate about the Lord's people, those who have this message, gospel message, uniting together for the furtherance of the work of Jesus Christ. So I hope I've made that clear. And as I say, I have to say, I'm not at my happiest outside a passage of the scripture explaining it, because that's the main function. But these things, there's a place for sermons like this so that we all know. And so that we're not ignorant that this is our situation. We express our fellowship in a local way. There are conferences which the leaders of the church particularly really go to. And so that fellowship of other churches round and about. There's constant prayer for the local churches. The Yorkshire Gospel Partnership is particularly active in church planting. So we're praying for church plants in Scarborough, in Leeds and in Cleckheaton at the moment. And praying that the Lord would prosper that. And so it's not something that's, right, sort of backs to the wall, let's just dig in and try and survive. It's looking with a vision to say, we're passionate about the gospel. How can we have the gospel preached? How can we help people to build? And that's what we're about. And we need to think it through and we need to say, well, what's the future as regards the spreading of the gospel and the preaching of this message? So this message, all I want to get over this morning is that we are a gospel church and that is our absolute passion. And so we reach out in fellowship with those who believe that Christ is the only way of salvation, that we are sinners who need to be saved. Christ, the only way we can be saved, through the working of the Holy Spirit, through his word, then we're to bring this message that you need to repent of sin, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall have everlasting life. And you will go rather to heaven and not to hell. That's the overall message. There's some parts of that message which are really difficult. some parts where you just have to stand and say, Lord, give me understanding in this. But we have Jesus as our Lord, and that means we are molded by him. We don't go out, do what we think's best, and then go back to the Lord and say, we've done all that, Lord. Can you please confirm it, and can you come and help us and bless what we've done? It's not that way around. You say, Lord, what do you want us to do? And what he wants us to do is be, we believe, to preach the gospel and to bring this message. So, I've observed over the years that people, usually, churches don't grow, people don't get saved, unless people have a passion to tell people about Jesus. We want that passion. To be able to tell people, even if it's in the giving of an evangelical times, and say, right, we've lived next to each other 2 years, haven't we now? And we haven't chatted much here. I want to give you a Christmas present. Have that. Okay, see what you think of that. Let's have a chat about that. And you can come to our carol service, by the way, and give them an invitation. We'll have some invitations soon as well for the carol service. So we can work to spread the gospel. And my observation is that churches won't grow if we don't take the gospel out. Not sit here, by the way, expecting people to walk through the door. But if we don't go out to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also my observation that isolated churches, churches that turn in on themselves and say, oh, let's just forget about everybody else, okay? Then my observation is I've never seen an isolated church prosper and grow and flourish. I've never seen that. Because the Lord wants us to have big hearts. And we love our brothers and sisters. And we're not denominational. We're not just looking for structures. We're looking for brothers and sisters who have the gospel message to proclaim. So this evening, with God's help, we'll have a look a little bit closer, perhaps, at how we've arrived at this place. And I'm thinking of Old Green in particular, but looking at the movements that have been in the last 50 years and a bit longer as to how churches have come about. And how we understand our role as Whole Green. And I trust that we shall see this evening particularly that we can be very passionate about the gospel and about the future of the gospel really being linked to independent evangelical churches. There are all sorts of ways of fellowship. I haven't even mentioned the fellowship of independent evangelical churches because there's a whole group of them, about exactly the same number. They have, on the website, they have four more churches than Grace Baptist churches, just over the 500 odd, but well over 1,000 churches in real, genuine fellowship. And we thank God for local churches that we see often and that we fellowship with, the folk over at South Craven and Halifax and Otley and so on, Ilpley, and pray that the Lord will prosper our ongoing fellowship with the Lord's people.